Well, please turn back with me to Acts and to chapter 16. And we're going to be thinking this morning, especially about Paul's visit here to Philippi, and particularly the conversion of this lady, Lydia. And my title for this morning is An Analysis of Conversion. Well, you remember that we're here in Paul's second missionary journey, and that you remember how he started out with this plan to visit the various churches that he'd established in the first missionary journey. And he wanted to go, you recall, and see how they were doing. But we saw last week how not everything that Paul had endeavored to do had come to fruition. He had tried, you remember, to go to Asia, as we read, but he was forbidden. He tried to reach Bithynia, but he'd not been successful. The Holy Spirit, you remember, had prevented him and hindered him. A reminder to us that the Holy Spirit, of course, not only opens doors of service, but he also closes doors of service. And we concluded last week with Paul and Silas, with also Timothy, and you remember Luke as well, with them here in this place of Troas. Troas is a port on the coast, and it stood really in those days as the gateway into Europe. And it was here that you remember Paul, no doubt he was slightly perplexed, wondering why all his plans have been foiled. It's here in Troas, in the middle of the night, he receives this call from the man from Macedonia. He has this vision. This man pleads with him to come over. And he says, come over and help us. And it was a cry that made it clear, wasn't it, to Paul, Europe needs to hear the gospel. The people of Europe need to hear these words of grace, these words of salvation. And in verse 10, having seen this vision, we read there how immediately it says we endeavored to go into Macedonia. God had called them. And this little band of disciples, they were going to respond, not tomorrow, not at some point in the future, but they go straight away, immediately, they set off. And we see this prompt obedience to God's word, a pattern, of course, that should be true in all of our lives, a prompt obedience to the word of God. And in verse 11, we read of how they set sail from Troas. They came to Samothracia, and then the next day to Neapolis, a smooth and quick journey, and then from there in verse 12 to Philippi. Now, I don't want to go into great detail this morning about this city of Philippi. Perhaps next week I'll mention a bit more about the city itself, what it was like. But we know it was an important commercial city. Luke says there in verse 12 that it was the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And it was a place, therefore, of commerce and business. And what I want us to particularly consider this morning is this lady, Lydia, who was a lady of business. This lady that Paul met in verse 14 here. This lady who becomes, as far as we understand, the first convert in Europe. And we're introduced to her there, as I said, in verse 14. And you notice that we're given three particular details about her there in that verse. We're told in the first place that she was a seller of purple. That means that she traded in purple cloth. In those days, from what I can read, from what I understand, the color purple, it was obtained by taking certain types of shellfish and extracting the dye. And this made the colour purple a very expensive dye. Only the wealthy could afford cloth that was dyed with this colour of purple. So such a colour, such a cloth became a status symbol. Hence why it's associated with kings and emperors. So Lydia had this business which was trading in this very expensive product. And so I'm sure that meant that she met important people, people of wealth and rank, perhaps. But she's here in this commercial city of Philippi. But that isn't where she's from originally. You notice, secondly, the second thing we're told about her there is that she was of the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was found back in Asia. Today it would be in modern-day Turkey. So she's quite a long way from home. Presumably it's her business which has brought her to this place, Philippi. Now, it's worth just making an aside here, because I like little details in the scriptures, and I find this little detail here is interesting, that Luke should mention that she's from this city of Thyatira, because we know today that Thyatira was known for its dyeing business. They've discovered all sorts of inscriptions, guilds that were set up for those who were involved in dyeing cloth, and these little details here, they're not important in the sense that we don't need them to know the Bible is accurate, but it's just proof, isn't it, once again, that every detail matters. It proves the accuracy of God's word. God's word is truth. We can rely upon the scriptures. Lydia was a seller of purple from a city which was known for its dyeing business. But then thirdly, we're also told that this lady Lydia worshipped gods. We don't know her background. We don't know what kind of family she came from. We don't know if she had a Jewish heritage somewhere in her past. But this statement here makes it clear Lydia had become a Jewish proselyte. She worshipped according to the Jewish faith. She was seeking gods. There was a desire here for religion and for worship. And it's this lady here, this business lady, this devout lady, who in this passage that we read comes to a true faith in Jesus Christ. She is converted. She experiences the new birth. She experiences regeneration. And Luke records her quiet conversion here in just these few verses. And while the account is short, I think it's very instructive for us about the nature of conversion, what happens in conversion, what true conversion looks like. And I want us just to very quickly look carefully at this account with you this morning. What I want us to do is I want us to look at the moments before her conversion. Then I want us to look at the actual moment of conversion, and then I want us to see what follows her conversion. So that's where we're going this morning, sort of past, present, future, as it were. So let's begin with the past. What happens here in the past? I think as we look at this background here, we'll see in a sense it's a surprising past. We note that Paul and his companions have arrived in Philippi. We notice that there in verse 12. It says there that they were in that city abiding certain days. It would appear that when they arrived, Paul spent a little bit of time walking around the city. He begins to look around. Where's the best place to begin the gospel work? Where could he go to start preaching the gospel? What's the best avenue to reach people? And remember, it was his usual practice to begin by preaching in the local synagogue. But it would appear here that Philippi doesn't have one, because Paul doesn't begin in the synagogue. Apparently, for a Jewish synagogue to be established, there had to be a minimum of 10 Jewish males, 10 heads of households. Well, it would seem that in this city of Philippi, there wasn't even 10 Jewish males. Hence why we read in verse 13 of this group of women who made it their habit to meet on the Sabbath day for prayer, and they met by this riverside. And this is where Paul begins this work here in Europe. He's here on the Sabbath day. He goes down to the banks of this river where there's just a handful of women who meet to pray and to worship. And it's here that this lady Lydia comes to faith. And I think this must have been surprising to the Apostle Paul. You just think about the details here with me for a moment. The first person that's converted here in Europe is a woman. And you may say to me, well, what's surprising about that? Lots of women have already come to faith through the book of Acts, haven't they? What makes this particular woman unique? Well, of course, we know there's no difference between male and female. We know that the gospel has broken down all those barriers. But what's surprising about Lydia, a woman, being the first convert, is you remember what he saw back in verse 9 in his vision. It was a man that calls to Paul to come over and help us. And more than that, it's a Macedonian man. Lydia is an Asian woman. She's from the very area that Paul had been forbidden to preach in verse 6. But the Lord has brought this woman to this river at this time to hear this message of salvation. The Lord in his providence, he works in wonderful ways, doesn't he? And here he brings these two people together at this time. Here's Lydia from Thyatira, from Asia, and she's come and she's now by the banks of the river in Philippi, and there's Saul of Tarsus, now Paul, and he's here, and the Lord brings them together in his providence. He brings them together so that she might hear this gospel of redeeming grace. And you notice that this all happens, as we said, by a river, not, as we said, in a synagogue, not even in the marketplace where Paul had often preached, where busy street corners. Lydia's converted here in this quiet spot, just down by the waterside. She had just met for prayer. And it's clear, isn't it? There wasn't a great crowd of people. There's just a handful of women meeting. There isn't some enormous gathering like we've seen on other occasions where Paul has preached and there's clearly thousands present to hear his words. Just a handful. And furthermore, we can add to the surprising element here that Lydia is a wealthy businesswoman. Now you might say, why is that surprising? Why do I mention that she's a wealthy businesswoman? Well, remember what Christ had said about the rich and faith and the kingdom of God. Remember how he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And when Jesus Christ said that, his disciples were astonished. And Jesus answered them and said, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Riches often strangle faith. Riches consume people's thoughts and their desires. Those who have plenty of money and plenty of possessions, they very often give no thought for eternal things. But here's Lydia, wealthy Lydia, and she comes to faith. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And so as we look at this background here to Lydia's conversion, we may say all of this is very surprising. These aren't the circumstances that we expect. This isn't where we thought the first convert would be found. It doesn't match our preconceptions, perhaps. She doesn't match the call that came from the man of Macedonia. She isn't in a synagogue. She's rich. What a hindrance that is. And yet, despite all of these aspects, still she's converted. And what a lesson we have here about conversion. It's not necessary to be from a certain culture. It's not necessary to be sat in some ornate church building. It's not necessary for there to be a great crowd of people. Conversion doesn't depend on any of these physical, tangible things. You note that Paul here, when he came to the city of Philippi and comes to this river here, he doesn't come with a great program of events. Paul wasn't present here to entertain. He didn't bring with him a choir. He doesn't bring down a special singer to stir up an atmosphere. He doesn't send out thousands of leaflets beforehand. He's going to put on some great gospel campaign. He just goes down to this riverside where prayer was wont to be made. You see, there's no religious excitement here. Paul was not trying to whip up a sort of a spiritual fervency. You see, none of these things were necessary for this lady Lydia to come to faith. He just goes down to the riverside where these ladies met. It may seem to us surprising, it may seem a surprising place, but this was an opportunity for Paul to share the gospel. Here, you see, was his first open door. Just a small group of women. All the other doors behind him had been shut. Asia had been shut. Bithynia had been shut. But now he comes to a riverside. Here's an open door. Here's a place where he can begin a small work. It's not big, it's not spectacular, but he comes down quietly to this group of women. And so we see this surprising past. But then let's come to the present. Let's come to the actual moment of Lydia's conversion. Come to, as it were, the present. And let's ask ourselves the question here, well, how was she converted? If there was no ornate church, if there was no religious fervency, what is it that actually takes place? Well, you notice that Luke mentions three key things that happen in verse 14. And they all happen here, in a sense, together. And all three of these aspects are true of every conversion. They're true of everyone who is regenerated. If you are a true, sincere, born-again Christian here this morning, then these three things are true of you. And so they act, in a sense, like three key marks. The first of these we read there is her heart was opened. Now, when Luke speaks of her heart here, he's clearly not speaking about that physical organ that pumps the blood around the body. The Lord doesn't perform open heart surgery here. He's speaking about the spiritual part of Lydia, her soul. Now, we need to be very clear here, because Luke's very precise here with his language. You notice that he does not say Lydia opened her heart. He doesn't say that. And I point that out there because there are many people, well-meaning people often, who say, look, all you need to do is open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart to Jesus and just let him in. That's what you need to do to be a Christian. Luke doesn't say that. He says the very opposite. Luke, here speaking of Lydia, says, whose heart the Lord opened. This tells us something fundamental about Lydia, which is true of every one of us. It's true of us. It's true of our hearts. It tells us that Lydia's heart was closed. And our hearts are closed. Closed to God. The door, as it were, of our soul is bolted shut. The human heart is naturally shut to the gospel. It's naturally shut to God. There's a spiritual blindness. There's a spiritual closedness to God. Because of our carnal affections, because of the blindness of our hearts, the shutters have come down. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians, he stressed this point, but he used a slightly different illustration, slightly different imagery. He spoke there of us being dead in trespasses and sins, without life. A heart that's closed to God, a heart that has no life, a heart that's closed to the gospel. That's Lydia here by the banks of the river, a heart that's closed. She's dead in trespasses and sins. She may have been religious. She may have sought to worship God. We can commend her here for her desire to keep the Sabbath day. We can praise her for coming to the place of prayer, but spiritually she was dead. And yet it's here, isn't it, in this shady spot by the banks of the river, the Lord comes and he opens her heart. And what the Lord opens, no man can shut. This is a sovereign act of God's. If God never opened her heart, it would have remained shut, it would have remained closed forever. And friends, this morning, it's only the Lord who can open our hearts. This wasn't something Lydia could do herself. She was spiritually dead. Nor was this something that even the great apostle Paul could do for her. Silas couldn't do it, Luke couldn't do it, Timothy couldn't do it. Only God could open her heart. And friends, this is true of you and me this morning. We cannot open our hearts. I cannot open your heart. Only the Lord can open your heart. But you notice the second thing that happens here in this conversion. It's there at the end of the verse. And it's something very simple. The word was spoken. Paul, we read there, spoke to her. He spoke to her in words, words that obviously she could understand. The word translated as spoken there at the end of the verse means simply that. It means just to talk. It's just the ordinary word for conversation. You know, as we've gone through the book of Acts, Luke's used all sorts of words, hasn't he? He's used this word preach, which sometimes is the word evangelize. Other times it's the word to proclaim, to herald, like a town crier. Well, here Paul comes and he's not shouting, preaching, as it were, proclaiming. He's not evangelizing. He's just speaking. He's just using words, talking to her. We're not told exactly what he spoke about. In a sense, we don't need the details, do we? We always know what Paul spoke about. It's recorded for us, isn't it? Over and over again, what Paul preached about and spoke. He didn't talk about the weather. He didn't ask Lydia how business was. He comes to her and he preaches Christ Jesus and him crucified. That's what he always spoke about. He always spoke of the cross. He always spoke about Christ and his blood that was shed at Calvary. He spoke about righteousness and the judgment to come. You know, some people think that the women met here for prayer by the riverside because they would come down and wash themselves and purify themselves according to the customs and the manners of Jews. So some think, well, you know, Paul was like the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved to use illustrations. He would use what was around him. Well, he would take this as an illustration. Look, we need to be washed clean of all our sin. We need to be purified. We're guilty. We're filthy in the sight of God. And maybe he said to them, look, the only way you can be cleansed is through the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you of all sin. These are perhaps some of the things that he would have spoken about to these women. Listen, he would have said to them, look, what you need to understand is fundamentally you're a sinner. And that your sins need to be dealt with. And I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and what he came to do. Tell you about his death on the cross. How he became a substitute. How he died for your sins. And if you place your trust, your faith in him, repent of these sins, you can know him as your Savior. You can know your sins forgiven. That's what he would have talked about. I'm sure Paul covered all the basic elements of the Christian faith, and he does so simply by speaking, talking, conversing with these women. And friends, this is another essential part of conversion. I've quoted this verse many times as we've gone through the book of Acts. You remember Romans 10, 17 makes it abundantly clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures which by the power of the Holy Spirit brings this new life into the soul. It's an essential element of conversion. It's essential to the new birth. Peter points this out in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. He says there about the word of God, how it brings new life. Let me read that verse to you. He says this, being born again, he says, not of corruptible seeds, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This being born again, this new life comes by the word of God. It's the word which brings new life to dead souls. But you notice this third aspect to Lydia's conversion. She believed that word. She believed the word. You notice what it says here. It says that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And that word attended there, it means more than simply that she just listened. It definitely includes that. She was listening. But it goes much further. She listened intensely. She listened as if she was hearing this message for the first time, and she's understanding it. She's grasping it. Not just with her mind, not just with the powers of reasoning. She's understanding it in her mind, yes, but it's more than that. She grasped it in her heart, which has been opened. She says, this is true. What Paul is speaking is right. Everything he's saying, it's about me. It's about my sin. I'm guilty. I'm lost. I need a savior. I deserve condemnation. This is for me. And she hears of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done in making a sacrifice for sin. And she says, I believe. He died for me. And she believes in that word that Paul was preaching. And the point is this, as her heart is open, she reaches out in faith. She holds out her open hands to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what it means when it says she attended unto the things spoken by Paul. You know, I can imagine that there she was by that riverside, and for a moment it was as if there was no one else there, just Paul and the word that he was preaching, everyone else in a sense just blurred into the backgrounds. And those words of grace, they rushed right into this heart that's been opened by that sovereign act of God. And she says, this is for me. I'm guilty. I need Christ. Friends, I wonder if these things are true of you. Have you ever heard the word of God? Have you known a moment when, as it were, you heard it for the first time and your heart was opened and you began to heed this word and you repented and you turned to faith in Christ? And it was as if no one else was there, and you could just, it was just the word of God, and Christ was real to you and you believed in him. A heart opened, God's word spoken, faith in that word. But let's move on to notice lastly what happens next. We've seen the events leading up. We've seen the moment of conversion. But you notice what follows her conversion. And we have to say this, that to begin with, we have to point out, I think, that she doesn't change physically. You know, it's not that Lydia all of a sudden now has a different personality. She's a completely different person. She looks different, and she's now walking around with a halo above her head or something like that. There's nothing physically that changes. This opening of her heart, this new faith, it's an internal work. It's about the soul. As we said, she's now a new creature in Christ. And we notice that there are two things that happen afterwards. Firstly, you notice she was baptized. She obeys the command of Jesus Christ. I'm sure this must have been something Paul mentioned as he spoke. Repent and be baptized. Something, of course, that all true Christians should do if they're able to. It's not necessary for salvation, but if we're physically able to, we should want to obey the command of Christ to be baptized. And baptism is this outward act. It symbolizes an inward reality. It symbolizes you've passed from death to life, that you have, as it were, been buried with Christ and you've been raised to newness of life in him. It's an outward confession to the world. Christ is mine. He's my Saviour. And Lydia does this here by the banks of the river. And we read of her household also being baptized. And we'll come to that phrase on another occasion. But you notice what else she does here. She invites Paul here in verse 15 and his companions. She says, come to my house. And you notice that she besought them. Luke says she even constrained them. She's got this new love for the brethren. She's got this love for God's people. And it was a love, of course, that wasn't just in word here, but in deed and in truth. She presses upon them, look, if you've counted me worthy, you've baptized me, you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house. And she stretches out her hands here, doesn't she, in kindness to them. And the impression here by the fact that she constrained him is that Paul said, no, 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 we're okay. You know, I've got my tents that I make. Well, we're happy to stay in. No, she says, you can't. You come on, come back to my house. I've got ample room, plenty of places. Come back and stay. I'll feed you. I'll care for you. And so they come back. And she shows this hospitality and this care for the people of God. And what we see there, you see, is the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in her heart, isn't it? This is the grace of God. This is what you see in all true believers. Marks of the Spirit in their lives. You begin to see the fruit of the Spirit coming forth. You see that love. You see that joy. You see that peace. You see that gentleness, that long-suffering, that goodness, that faith, that meekness, that temperance. You see it all beginning to grow. You see a desire in believers to serve God and a decreasing love for this world. This is what's happening here in Lydia already, right straight after her conversion. You see it coming forth, this new life. And she has a love for Paul and his companions, a desire to help, desire to use her wealth for the cause of Christ. As I close this morning, friends, are these marks of grace in your life? There should be if you've been converted. Are you kind? Are you loving? Are you good? Do you say to yourself, how can I use my money? How can I use my home? How can I use my possessions for the cause of Christ? Do you think like that? Lydia, see here, had passed from death to life. And we see already here immediately the signs of new spiritual life. What a wonderful conversion this is. Quiet conversion. She comes to faith. Have you been converted? Have you passed from death to life? Well, I pray that all of us here this morning can say, yes, by the grace of God, he's opened my heart. I believe in him. I'm trusting him. And we're like Lydia. We see marks in our lives. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts this morning. And let's come and sing our final hymn.